Good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here today for the offering of this Mass. A special welcome to all guests. Your presence here is a blessing, as we've now all of us together to offer our praise and thanksgiving today. Please also know that for all of our guests, you're welcome to come to the parish picnic today at 1 o'clock in the north parking lot. God has blessed us with a beautiful day, so let us enjoy it and make the most of it. And also, thank you for your cooperation. We've had to block off part of the parking lot in preparation for the picnic this afternoon. Our condolences today go out to the family of Bill Moore, one of our parishioners who died after a long illness this last Wednesday. May he be numbered among the saints in Christ, and our consolation, our prayers, especially to Bill's family that are here with us at this Mass. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. May his soul and the souls of all the faith that departed, to the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Today our congratulations go out to two of our parishioners, Ian Riley and Bridget Alexander. They were married yesterday morning and now entered into the sacrament of marriage. So we pray for them that the Lord will strengthen them in the vocation to which they've been called. And also our congratulations to another parishioner, Spencer Thomas. Spencer is a novice with the Augustinian Friars in the Midwest Conference, which is based out of Chicago. This last week or recently, he received his novice habit. And so we continue to pray for him and his discernment, his formation, as he his vocation to religious life. My thanks to all who welcomed me at Casher Hall this last week for lunch. Had a great time. Please know that I'll be on retreat this week, Monday through Friday, at Subiaco Abbey in Arkansas with more than 40 other of our priests. So please be praying for us. And one of my jobs has been trying to coordinate and herd them all. Make all the accommodations. You know, Father X wants a room on this side of the building. Father Y wants a room with this size bed and so on. So pray for me for the gift of patience as well. We got it all pretty much, I think, straightened out as of yesterday. But I will be back on Friday, and I'll be with you next weekend. Please also know that we have a special event on October the 28th in the morning, that Saturday morning. It's the anniversary Mass for married couples. Usually the bishop celebrates that Mass at the cathedral, but there's some logistical issues there that day. So Bishop Condor will be here for Mass at 10 in the morning, for all wedding, all couples celebrating wedding anniversary, particularly those celebrating their 25th and 50th and 50 plus. So that's, we'll have more information about that next weekend. You know, it's been said that 90% of life is just showing up. That's a common phrase, and we maybe hear some other, sayings that are similar to that, such as the need to be present or, represent. We're going to represent today, usually in the context of we're going to represent the school, the team, or so on. And there is an importance for us to be engaged in the lives of others and to show up. For clergy, priests, and deacons in particular, the need to be present with people at important moments of life, particularly illness, death, and so on, but also weddings, for baptisms, and all those other moments in between. And also for families. For parents and grandparents typically be present in the life of their children and grandchildren. One example, my dad, after he more or less retired, had the time to go to his grandson's baseball games in Little League. And not only did he go to every game, he went to almost every practice. So much so he became kind of like the team mascot, the team grandpa. And one of the teams that my nephews played on, they were the Shockers, and he was actually known as Pop Shocker. But that was showing up, that was being present, engaged in the lives of his grandchildren. So how odd it is today that we hear in the gospel reading this parable, this wedding banquet, that a man shows up. He represents, but he's thrown out into the darkness. Well, there's that wailing and grinding of teeth. And the gospel reading today, much like the one from last Sunday, has images that are confronting, that perhaps be a bit disturbing, or certainly not as comforting as we would often to hear. We hear about the invitations sent out to the wedding feast of the king's son. And the response of those who received the invitations range from indifference to refusal to out-and-out violence. Just like last Sunday about the owner of the vineyard with the tenants. And the response of the king is much like the owner of that vineyard we heard last Sunday. The response of the king to all this is destruction. So we're confronted with images today of rebellion, of violence. Perhaps a little bit of context might help. Remember, Jesus is addressing these parables to the chief priest and the elders, the leaders of the Jewish religion of his time, particularly the temple priesthood. Well, by the year 70 AD, when Matthew's gospel is being written, the temple has been destroyed. This place of worship where God is being, for the Jewish people, the most important place on earth, where God's presence is there in the Holy of Holies, has, courtesy of the Roman army, been reduced to a pile of rubble. And also, remember, in the ancient world, to refuse hospitality was a great insult. And also think of it another way. If you get a call from your boss, your supervisor, or so on, asking you to come to a meeting, my guess, you're going to say yes. One time, once or twice, when Bishop Slattery was before his retirement, I got a call from his office, and the question pretty much was phrased this way: Bishop Slattery would like to see you at 2:00 next Tuesday afternoon. Are you available? Well, that having looked at the calendar, I know the answer is, well, of course, I will be there. And then spend the rest of the week wondering, and now why am I being called to a meeting at 2:00 on Tuesday? So refuse a request can be seen as an act of insubordination. In the ancient world, to refuse a royal decree was seen as treason. It's a bit of context, but I think maybe something else is going on. And perhaps of these images that can be disruptive, that are over these top images, perhaps Jesus is trying to get our attention. Bishop Robert Barron has spoken of the Catholic writer Flannery O'Connor, a Catholic laywoman who probably was one of the most important Catholic writers of the last century in the United States. And she, in her short stories that she was known for, her Catholic faith was always interwoven in that, but also were often images of physical ugliness and of violence, things that were disturbing to read. And people would actually ask her, say, hey, we're happy you're writing about Jesus, but what is it with all these images, this violence and this ugliness? And she had an interesting response. She said, in a culture that has grown deaf, you have to shout to be heard. You have to shout to be heard. Think of our own culture today. Think of the cultural deafness to beauty, to truth, to civility, to kindness, to empathy. I think all that is actually a deafness to grace and to mercy and to God's presence among us and to that invitation from God to that wedding feast. And that image of the wedding feast is one that's all through the scriptures. We hear it also from the prophet Isaiah today of God's union with us, inviting us into this sacred covenant, this sacred meal together. And sometimes to hear that invitation, you have to shout to be heard. So may Jesus, maybe what he's doing, not just shouting to the chief priests and the elders of the people, maybe he is also shouting to us in our deafness. Because we've all been invited to the banquet. That invitation formally begins on the day of our baptism and continues to this very day. And that invitation is actually given to all. Remember, Jesus did not establish a club. Our mission as the church is not to go root out all those that we deem to be imperfect and impure. Rather, Jesus established a church. And our mission as the church is what we hear in the gospel reading, where the king sends out the next group. He says, go out to the highways, the byways, invite everybody you encounter. And that's our mission. To invite all, especially the spiritually and materially poor, the broken, the wounded, the sinners who are sick of their sin, invite them to the wedding feast. Because that image of the wedding feast is an image of heaven. It's the goal of our hope as the church. It's also an image of the Mass. That whenever we celebrate the Mass, we're off of the liturgy, heaven and earth are joined together in the sacred time of prayer and in the sacred meal, in the sacrifice. The other day I was able to listen to Father Don Wolf on St. Michael Catholic Radio. And Father Wolf is a priest of the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City. He came and spoke here a while back about his cousin, now blessed, Stanley Rother. And in the radio broadcast, he talked about the Beatification Mass. 20,000 plus people, Catholics, all gathered in one place in Oklahoma for the offering of the Mass. And for those who were able to be there and those who were not, had to watch it on television or streamed online, Father Wolf talked about the power of the liturgy when it's done well. All of us doing the same thing, saying the same thing for the same purpose, and how that's different from going to a sporting event or a concert or a town hall meeting, all those other times and places that we are expected to represent, that we are expected to show up. For in our act of worship, we're saying yes to the invitation to that feast. An invitation that is not to be ignored or treated lightly or with indifference. It's a vital part of our discipleship as the church. And though sometimes through our deafness, Jesus has to shout to get our attention. Because we may have to do more than just show up. That's why we hear that man who comes to the feast and he's not correctly dressed and he's thrown out. Now, allow me to suggest this is probably not a fashion issue. Like he's wearing white after Labor Day. By the way, does that still hold? Does that still... I have to confess complete ignorance. I wear black every day. This is one of the perks of being a priest, is I don't have to think too hard about what I'm going to wear to work every morning. But this man being thrown out of the banquet has nothing to do with fashion. Where I think something is being shouted to us. And that is that we have to do more than show up. The acceptance of and the living out of the invitation to the banquet, the invitation to take our place in the kingdom of heaven, that is to transform us, to change us. That's the garment that we're called to wear to the feast. Because every one of us, yes, is invited, but to take our place at the table, we can't presume that showing up will be enough, that we must allow ourselves to be transformed by grace, transformed by that divine mercy and love. And that's more than representing. Because we have to recognize our need for divine mercy. We have to be confronted by our sins and the effect they have in our lives and the lives of others. And the second part, can it be even more difficult? More of a challenge. And that's accepting that divine mercy, whose name is Jesus, can call us to repentance, can call us to conversion, can call us to that transforming grace that we can be changed. So we have to allow ourselves to be loved. We have to allow ourselves to be forgiven and be transformed. I think that's why the sacrament of reconciliation is so vital. Because whether, as St. Paul puts it, we are well fed or if we're going hungry, whether we're living in abundance or whether we are in need, it is Christ Jesus that strengthens us, even if he has to shout to get our attention. Because we have been invited to the wedding feast. May we accept the invitation. And may that acceptance begin the process of our transformation as we take our place in the kingdom of heaven.